Hey, everybody, it's me here, Michael Franti, on the Stay Human podcast. Man, we are super excited because we've got a new album that is coming out. It's called Work Hard and Be Nice. 17 songs, that's right, you heard it, 17 songs filled with optimism and stories about how we get through challenging times and still hold on to our humanity. We can't wait to get back out on the road with you guys, so stay tuned to all of my socials. You'll get the information first about when we're going to be touring next. In the meantime, enjoy all the songs on the album, Work Hard, Be Nice. You can Spotify it. You can stream it all over the place. You can download it on iTunes. You can even get the CD from michaelfranti.com. So check it out.
To the Stay Human podcast. We are out here in the gorge, the amazing gorge, in Quincy, Washington. And there's an amazing show tonight with Natasha Bedingfield. Any fans here? O-A-R. Me, Michael Franti and Spearhead. And the amazing Trey. We have a super special guest on the show. You may not have heard of her unless you, like, are obsessed with Instagram, as I am. Because she's one of, like, my Instagram darlings. This is Taimani Gardner.
Aloha!
So, Taimani, you know, a lot of people have probably never heard your music who are listening to this or watching this. And why don't you just, like, give us a little flavor so that we can just... start, okay. You know, people understand kind of like what you do.
Sure.
Woo! So, Taimani, you are really good at the tuba.
That's why, really, thank you.
Tell us about your instrument. What do you play there?
It is called an ukulele, also known as the ukulele.
Yep.
I've been playing since I was five, and I travel the world playing ukulele. That's
nice.
That's what I do.
So,
love it.
You started at five, and how is it that you came to be at playing ukulele at five? Where were you living, or where are you from?
Well, I'm born and raised from Oahu, Hawaii, and everyone pretty much has an ukulele.
Are you from
in
Oahu?
Their house.
No, my family
does. Okay,
nice.
All right. Yeah.
Nice, yeah. Well, you know, every person, every family has an ukulele in their house, and so it's kind of hard not to play ukulele over there. And so, you know, I kind of sort of picked it up and played in front of the mirror and broke a string, and then my dad decided to get me some lessons, and I am a ham. I love playing on stage. I feel more comfortable on stage rather than off stage.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm very, like, introverted. Like, I don't really say anything. But then, like, when I can get on stage, I can, like, I don't know, let this, like, fire out of me. This, you know, it's contained. But then when I'm up there, I let it out.
You let it out.
Yeah.
I want to come back to that. But I want to go really, really deep first. So you grew up in Hawaii. Are your parents Hawaiian, like, native Hawaiian?
No. So my dad's from Arizona. And my mom is from Samoa, which is a Polynesian island, about 5 hours flight from Hawaii. And then they both met in Hawaii. My mom was at Kailua Beach, and then my dad was, you know, watching her and stalking her a little bit. And then decided to get the guts and ask her out. And they started dating and had me and my sister.
Yeah.
And born and raised from Oahu, but... absolutely love it.
And what was your house like? Was it filled with music as you were growing up as a kid, or was it just every single house as a ukulele? Or were your parents particularly into music?
Well, my mom is a dancer / singer, and she was Miss Samoa in the Miss Universe pageant back in her day. So she's very musical and loves to be on stage, while my dad is very, like, business. He's a business. He doesn't have any, you know, talent in that way, but he's very talented with teaching me the work ethic that I think is very, you know, important to be able to do this as a job.
Yeah. And so then you started playing when you were five. What point did you realize, like, well, this is something that's really important for me in my life? Or was just mm-hmm. something that kind of drifted and you just kind of like got better as you went on? Or did you know right away from like early on that this mm-hmm. is something you were super passionate about?
Even before the ukulele, I've always enjoyed being on stage. And mm-hmm. I remember this ballet recital, and you know, I was like three, and I was just bossing all the other girls around, telling them where to stand, how to dance. And I think my dad and my mom kind of got an inkling that I enjoyed being in front of a camera or on stage. And so my dad got me my ukulele. And, you know, I never thought of it as like, this is what I'm going to do. Uh-huh. I'm going to become this ukulele player. It's just I really enjoy being on stage, and mm-hmm. so this, you know, was a tool for me to be able to share that. Mm-hmm. And then I think around 11, 12 was kind of when I started thinking, okay, you know, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
Before that, I was just doing contests. I was actually busking on the streets in Waikiki around 7 years old. And I loved it. Yeah. And I think around 11, 12 years old, I started thinking, okay, you know, I got my first gig with this guy named Don Ho, and
Don Tiny Bubbles.
Yeah, Tiny Bubbles. He's like a Hawaiian Elvis.
Yeah.
And he gave me my first job, and then from there on, I was like, okay, professional ukulele player. Let's do it.
That's awesome. And so then, when you got into your teenage years, was it always that you were listening to traditional Hawaiian music or ukulele music, or were you inspired mm-hmm. by other forms of music just mm-hmm. on the radio? What was your thing?
Well, I grew up listening to oldies, but I really enjoy classical music. I love classical. I love metal. I love Pink Floyd. I don't really listen to Hawaiian traditional. It's funny uh-huh. because that's all you hear in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you walk down the street or if you're in a hotel, you hear traditional
Hawaiian.
It's like
Hawaiian. The tourist mantra.
Exactly.
Just pulls money out of their wallets.
Exactly, you know? Right? And growing up there, you know, it's around, but I never actually listened to it. I was listening to, you know, something else that's a little more international. And I think mm-hmm. that actually comes through when I play ukulele. That was somewhat flamenco Portuguese, which is funny because that's originally where the ukulele is from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not even a Hawaiian
instrument.
So how
did it end up in Hawaii? Do you know the history of it?
Mm-hmm. So it's a Portuguese instrument that came from an island called Madeiros, and it was brought over by the Portuguese cowboys.
Wow.
There were some cowboys who came to Hawaii, and when the Hawaiians saw them play this instrument, they named it the ukulele, and uku means flea. And lele means jumping. And so that's kind of how it got its name, because when they saw the fingers going like that, it reminded them of jumping fleas. So that's how the ukulele got its name.
Wow. That's a really cool name.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and then we just kind of like adopted it into Hawaiian culture. And then that's what you think of, you know, when you think of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Ukulele.
So then as a teenager, what were you into as a teenager? Just music or was ballet still part of it? Or
Boys,
okay.
Drinking,
yeah.
And performing. By that time, I was performing regularly. But, you know, I was interested in what regular teenage girls were interested in at that time.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
So boys and drinking, I mean, that's a recipe for trouble when
yes.
you're like 13.
Oh, it was the best time. It was the best time. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but I would sneak out when I was like 13 and 14, and my girlfriend and I would meet up with boys, and, you know, she gave me my first drink. Mm-hmm. I think I was like 15 at the time when I had my first beer, and we had a lot of fun. You know, Hawaii is a beautiful place to live, so it wasn't hard to find places to hang out.
Yeah.
But,
and what was the greatest challenge for you, like as a teenager? What was the hardest mm-hmm. thing for you going through that time?
That is a very good question. Hardest thing. Sorry, I'm thinking about this
That's
one.
Okay.
That's a
Take
tough one. I'm trying to relate.
Mm-hmm. To relating to other teenagers or relating to adults or both?
Sorry.
Okay.
An artist. I always cry.
Okay.
I guess trying to relate to other kids.
Mm-hmm. What was hard about that?
This is a beautiful thing, but it's also just so different for other people to understand. And I grew up having a really tough childhood. Just like that work ethic is great, but it was also like I could never hang out with friends. I could never be a normal teenager. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm super thankful for that as well, because if I didn't have that, I would not be here playing music with you and traveling the world. It's just amazing. So, mm-hmm. So it's a blessing in disguise.
Did you feel that pressure from your family at first, or?
Mostly my father.
Your father, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dads can be that way. My dad can be a real prick that way.
Really?
Yeah. He'd be a real prick. Why can't you hit a baseball? Why aren't you shoot enough free throws? Why did you get a B minus on your test? You know, it was a constant thing like that. And I felt it, you know. And like you said, you know, it drove me to be an ambitious, driven, hardworking person. But there had to become a sort of like a crossover point for me where I felt like this is my own thing now. Like, I'm really expressing myself in the way that I want to, and not just listening to somebody who's a coach or a teacher or a parent telling me what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so was there a point for you when you felt like, well, I'm putting all this time into it and people are telling me you got to work hard, but was there a point for you where you felt like a crossover, like now this is becoming my own thing? Or was it always that way for you?
Well, when I was around 15, I started rebelling. You know, just kind of... It was very controlling, you know. My dad would tell me what to wear, you know, what to play and what to do. And so, like, 15, I remember,
like in a sort of stage dad kind of way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a, I don't know what you call it, a momager, like a dadager.
A damager.
But, you know, I knew, you know, he was doing what he thought was best. But I think it was 15, I started wanting, you know, I wanted to wear different clothes, and that was tough. But I think when I was 18... going to college was, you know, a huge change for me, and being able to go to these other places that my dad never really appreciated or wanted me to go, but I started finding my individuality in that way. And I'm still having that, you know, that change happen, but, you know, experience definitely gives you that confidence.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. A few years back, my wife Sarah and I decided that we would start a nonprofit with the intention of bringing people with advanced stages of life-threatening illness, children and adults with special needs, and wounded veterans to see any live concert by any artist in any city in the world. And from that, Do It For The Love was born. If you have a friend or family member who needs music in that way, just write to us at doitfortheLove.org, and we'll make sure to get them out to see any concert in any city by any artist. Do It For The Love, y'all.
That personality.
Well, let's talk about then when you started getting out and doing your own thing. Like, did
sorry
you write,
for crying,
that's
you guys.
Okay. We appreciate your
vulnerability. I know, you're like, oh, God, what did I get myself into?
At what point did you start writing your own songs?
Five. I wrote my first song called I Am a Ducky, Ducky, Ducky. And it was about a duck and swimming in a pond. Yeah, nice. That was my first one. It was on piano.
Do you still remember it?
Let's see if I remember it.
All right.
I'm a ducky, 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 and I swim in a pond. And the pond is not cold for me because I'm a duck. I'm a ducky, ducky, ducky. I go quack, quack, quack. Oh, yes, I'm a ducky for sure. Yeah.
Whee!
That was like my first.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
What is
collaborate? Yeah.
What's your musical mission? What do you want to bring to the world through your music and your voice?
That is a good question. You know, playing this instrument is so unique and different. A lot of people, you know, when you think of ukulele, you think of, you know, something.
Yeah.
You know, which is beautiful, but it has so much potential. And so I guess my mission is to show how unique and how versatile this instrument can be. And then I just love being on stage and, you know, I love collaborating and I love sharing that energy for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Let's ask some questions. You guys have any questions for Time On It?
Think of some. You're not making music.
Okay. Good question. What do you do when you're not making music?
I enjoy cleaning my house, which is like a really weird thing to say. But when you're like touring or on the road, it's really hard to be at home. And so being at home and like watching a movie, making my own food, cleaning, you know, that's what I do. Yeah.
What kind of satisfaction does that give you?
Grounding. Because
I love to sweep. That's why I'm asking.
Really?
I love to sweep out my house. And the first thing when I sweep the whole house.
Wow.
And it's just like a thing that makes me feel like I think about what I'm doing in the day. It's like, you know, as a benefit that the house gets cleaned, you know?
Yeah, no, you see it right after.
But is there something for you that's about, like, cleaning up, that putting things in where they belong, that does, you know, what does it do for you?
I mean, like you said, like, once you clean, you automatically see the benefit. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have a clean house, and it kind of puts your brain in order as mm-hmm. well. And so, you know, I always promise myself, okay, you're going to clean, and then you're going to work on the ukulele. Mm-hmm. But I end up cleaning and then just, you know, laying around the house just admiring the
cleanliness.
Does that
help you as an artist? Or you just lay around the admirer?
I just, just watch movies. Does it help me as an artist? I mean, I don't think I'd be able to write or work on stuff if my place was a mess. It would bother me too much. Mm. And so, cleaning definitely helps in that way. Musically wise, not really. I just, you know, I like having a clean house.
Yeah.
I don't like dishes, though. I don't like dishes, and I don't like mopping or sweeping, so you're always welcome.
Okay, I'll come over to that for you. Who are your artists that you love? Like, what are some other artists out there that you feel a kinship with or that inspire you on a regular basis? Like,
Rihanna. Love Rihanna. I mean, that fire, you can see that fire.
Yeah,
and really,
I can
she
see
like
that
inspires
in
me in that way. I love classical music, because it makes sense.
What do you like about classical?
It makes sense. Like, I mean, sure, mathematically wise, but just it's pleasing to the ear, and it's complicated.
Mm.
You know, it's not the normal 4/4. It's not the normal chords. It's it goes places. There's like a journey to the music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are your plans?
I plan to go around the world sharing this music with as many people as possible, in whatever shape or form that means I'm open to, but I love what I do, and I want to keep sharing it with as many people as I can. Yeah.
Do you find it challenging to be a woman in music?
Yeah. I enjoy it, though.
What are the challenges?
I enjoy that challenge.
What are the challenges of being a woman?
Well, especially with this instrument and ukulele, you know, many people don't take it seriously, and then they, you know, as a woman, they don't take you seriously, and so being able to rock it super hard after and seeing that change is satisfying.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, there's different energies. There's male energy, which has a place, and then I think there's a feminine energy, too, that's just as important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, women are beautiful to look at, you know? Mm-hmm. Why not have that on stage? And then when you have, like, someone like Rihanna who can kill it, that's, like, represent, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. It brings that fire and that female energy together at the same time, and it's, like, unstoppable.
You put it together, and it's beautiful. Yeah. It's soft. It's hard. You know, when a guy can be soft, and then when a woman can be hard, it's...
And you sing as well?
I do.
Can we hear you sing a little something? Besides Rubber Ducky? we like the ducky, so you just do that one again, as far as I'm concerned, but...
Okay, I'll do a little something for you.
Because I've heard you sing, and I know, so I'm just kind of being selfish here.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a song called Mars, and there's actually a chant. It's by the Maoris. It's called the Haka. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I picked this chant is because Mars is the god of war and the god of chaos, and so it's nice to have that in this. So there's some playing, and then there's a little bit of singing in there, and then some playing. So
all right.
Here we go.
We're with you.
kamate, kaura, kaura, kamate, kamate, kaura, kaura, tenete, tangata, huru, huru, nanai, kiki, my faka, fitite, kamate, kamate, kaura, kaura, kamate, kamate, kaura, kaura.
I can feel that fire.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, I just got a couple more questions for you. The first one is, what kind of words of wisdom or advice do you have for other women, especially teens? You know, my teenage years were so hard. I feel, you know, my wife actually was seeing this baby the other day. She's like, God, it would be so great to be a 15-month-old baby again. You just get taken care of, and you go over here, your dad bounces you on your knee, and I'm thinking, 15-month-old baby is awesome, but then I got to go through like 12, 13, and 14 again, so fuck that. I don't want to be any part of that. And so what advice do you have for, especially for teens?
Honestly, find a good pair of friends that you can be yourself with. You know, at that age, you're always, like, trying to, like, hang out with the cool kids and, like, how you want that. But I think if you find a good pair of friends who actually care for you, it'll make the difference in the world, for sure. And I guess, like, find an outlet, whatever that is, whether it's art, whether it's cleaning, you know, do what you love. And then, you know, I feel like everything will fall into place. If you do what you love, you have a good work ethic, your passion will become, I guess, how you make a living.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then the final thing is that we call this the Stay Human podcast, and I ask everybody the same thing.
Okay.
Which is, how is it that in this world that is so dehumanizing at times, you know, we judge everybody by like the number and their bank account or their social security number, are you a Democrat, Republican, all these stupid things that we judge people by. How do you hold on to your humanity in this world, in this time?
Good question. For me, I have to stay grounded, and yoga definitely helps for me with that.
Yeah.
I think socializing at this point in time is very important because we're so encapsulated in the technology, which is great, but it's taking over our human, our humanity. And so I think socializing and, I don't know, do something new, go somewhere new, and try and smile at that person, even though if they don't like smile back, just like smile at them until they smile at you, or get, you know, they'll give you a weird look, but at least they'll like have a reaction. So I guess just be social, get out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, how can folks find you? Speaking of socializing, how can they find you on social media and follow you like I found you?
Yeah, well, you found me on Instagram, which is Taimani Gardner.
How do you spell it?
T-A-I M-A-N-E Gardner, or you can just look up ukulele woman and I will pop up on Google. I have no idea how I was named that, but yeah, ukulele woman, or just taimane.com. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It was really inspiring just to hear a little bit of your story and where the fire and passion comes for what you do. And I know that everybody here is going to want to check out more of what you do online, and
thanks,
we're super
guys.
Grateful to have had you out on tour with us for a few days.
Yeah.
On these shows. And so just thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Thank you to you guys.
Give it up for Taimani Gardner! From the Gorge here in Quincy, with Natasha Benningfield, OAR, Train, Michael Fronte, and Taimani Gardner. This is the Stay Human podcast. We love you. And remember, stay human.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast, and I've traveled all throughout the world, and I've been to many inspiring places, and one of my favorites is Bali. I fell in love with its people and nature the first time that I came here in 2007, and at that time, I had a dream to build a place that was dedicated to music, soul, and wellness. And from that, the Soulshine Bali Hotel was born. It's my boutique hotel located in the heart of Bali, surrounded by beautiful rice fields and the most incredible sunsets that you might ever experience. We do over 50 retreats a year, or you can just come here and spend a night on your own. So follow us on Instagram at Soulshine Bali.